Hello.
Hi.
It's only a speech. I didn't write anything. It's only a quote. I didn't write anything down. I promise. Hi. MCZ, I'm a recovered addict.
Hi.
My clean date is March 9th, 2020. I'm going to start out with this quote. When I was born, I was addicted. My first addiction was your acceptance. I just wanted y'all to like me. And I would have died just to enjoy your presence. This last week, 4 years ago, was the most important week of my life now. The 17 years before that was just a lot of misery and the road that brought me to here. We're not gonna go through all of it, but I had a really great childhood, and it just progressively got worse. When I first got sober, I thought my addiction was only that last 2 years where I was crackhead. It took me this recovery process to realize that my addiction started at 9 and just progressively got worse. February 20th of 2020, I was using with somebody who became my best friend, and I believe he was part of my soul. He was one of my soulmates in my life. And I was at home using, and he overdosed when he was alone. And I was the last person to see him and speak to him. And the next day, the cops showed up at my house and tried to pin it on me. And I went on a bender. I really didn't realize it. And, you know, Facebook memories come up, and this morning that Facebook memory came up that this was the day I woke up after that bender where I tried to overdose. That was my last suicide attempt of my life. And this morning is the morning that I woke up 4 years ago, and I decided to get honest. And I did the one thing that I was so scared to do, the scariest thing that you could ever imagine out of anything, even more scary than the cops showing up at my door and trying to frame me for murder. I called my mom. And I don't exactly remember the conversation, but I was like, Mom, I fucked up. And she's like, what? And I said, like, I've been doing drugs. And she said, what? And I said, something bad. And she was like, are you doing coke? And I was like, no, I've been smoking crack. And like, she just went into like mom mode. And she's just like, okay, I'm gonna take you to rehab. Like, we're done. Of course I had to go out one more time. I was like, no, I don't know if I'm gonna be home when you get here. But I woke up that morning and I just didn't want to die anymore. Like, I wanted to die for like 18 years of my life. And like, I went to detox, and like, that was horrible. Like, I crashed for 3 days. Like, I hadn't slept in, I don't know how long. I hadn't eaten in like a month and a half. Like, everybody thought I was eating. I would just go hide the food and I'd throw it out because I didn't want anybody to know I wasn't eating. I don't know how much money I spent. It was ridiculous. But I begged them to take me off the street and lock me up in residential. I begged and begged, and they were like, no, you'll be fine. You can go home. You can come back every day. We'll drug test you. We'll hold you accountable. And that worked for about, like, 2 weeks. I was trying to go to meetings every day, but I don't really think I was clear on that process. Like, I got a sponsor, but I didn't know you're supposed to call your sponsor. I just thought you're supposed to see them in a meeting, and I wasn't really clear on that process. So then 12 days later, like, I had that real bad slip for like 12 whole hours. And I walked back into Partial Hospital, and they asked me how I was standing up straight. And I was like, why? They're like, well, I don't even know what your blood pressure is at. It's kind of like off the machine. We don't know what's going on. They're like, we don't know how you're alive. And I was like, okay, is this good enough now for you? I was like, can you do that now? Like, take me off the streets. I'm going to die. Like, I was like, I'm doing a dive. Please, please help. So then they were like, okay, we're going to talk to the doctor. We'll put you up there. So they did. And I spent the next 17 days up in Dewey Residential. And 4 days into that, COVID shut down the world. So no meetings. And at least that we were locked away. Like, I knew the door was open and I could have did it, but, like, I was almost just too lazy. Because I didn't have anything to make me go, woo! And I just, it was one of those things where I was done, though. And I didn't want to do it anymore. I was so exhausted after the last 2 years of running. I didn't want to do it anymore. And I wanted to be done. And it just scared me so much to go out there and die. Like, and from being in there, like, from what the media was portraying to all of us, we thought there was nothing going on. All we saw was pictures of empty streets. And all I could think of was the only people that are out right now are the drug dealers, and I don't want to leave. I was like, that's the only thing that's going to be out there, and I was scared shitless. So when I left, my mom was like, what do you want to do first? And I said, I want coffee. And she took me to Starbucks, and there was a line of 20 cars, and I was like, I thought nobody was outside. And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, well, I guess the world didn't stop like we thought. And then for the next 9 months, I didn't have meetings. Of course, I didn't know how it all worked. Everyone was secretly having meetings. And I found out about that later. And I was like, oh. But that's because I didn't call my sponsor, because I didn't know I was supposed to do that. And then when I came back, I walked back into the same meeting I walked into, and I still haven't walked out of that meeting. I still run that meeting to this day. And for that first year and a half, like, I went through the steps. And I did what I was supposed to do when I was running this big book study. And my sponsor, and there was another person in that meeting who was like a mentor to me. But that was the only thing I was doing. But at least I had that, where I learned a lot about what was in that book. And I still carry a lot of that stuff to this day. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the little group of normie friends I still came out of that addiction with, because those people shouldn't have been my friends when I came back either. I'm grateful for the family that I still like, and they still like me, because they probably shouldn't have liked me that much either, because I've asked a lot of them for money. Thank God most of them said no, because they're smarter than that. But thank God for those normie friends, because they babysat me. Two of my best friends. My one friend let me live on her couch for that whole summer because I didn't want to stay at my mom's, and it wasn't because of my parents. It was because it was that house, and I lived in that room, and I did a lot of drugs in that room, and I didn't want to be there. And then the ex that was living with us, like, he's still fucking do horrible things to me, and I just couldn't be in that room. So I lived on my friend's couch, and my other best friend, he wouldn't let me go anywhere by myself. It was like a chaperone for 6 months. I wasn't allowed to do anything by myself. Which was fucking so sweet of them. And I'm so grateful for that. And about a year and a half into my recovery, on a whim, I went to this little thing called Campvention. And I met this really cool old dude who rides motorcycles. We all know who he is. He's an asshole. And I met some of my best friends in CA. Still to this day. You're going to hear one of them talk when they come up here. And I had this one lady. She's not here, but she texted me before I went on and told me good luck. She said to me while we're playing bags, because I didn't know not one person who showed up to this huge thing. And she's like, what other meetings do you go to? And I was like, I go to mine. And that's fine. And she's like, are you sure? She's like, because you should try something else. Because you might hear something else that you need to hear if you branch out. And I was like, nah, in my head. That would have been rude if I said it to her face. Because I was kind of lazy, not going to lie. But it stuck with me. And those friends stuck with me. And, like, that whole weekend, like, I know I left that weekend with a different sense of what I wanted to do with my life and my recovery. Because I'm one of those people, I've tracked my recovery via social media and Instagram posts. Because I look back on that week, the end of that weekend, I made a post about it, about where, this weekend has changed my perspective on recovery. And I said, I'm going to throw myself into this community in my life more. And that's when I started going to other meetings, and I broke the Dewey bubble, which is what people call it, when you're always stuck at the lighthouse, and then you expand to these other meetings, and you meet more people, and I start doing things. I helped throw our first event. I did a spaghetti dinner, and I thought it was going to be a fucking disaster. So many people showed up, I, cried. I hosted it. I was scared shitless. And two more later, it's my favorite thing of the year, besides going camping every summer. And what was the next? My first retreat. And going through the steps and finally finishing them, a year in. But I did it. When I look back at it, if I would have finished those steps in my first 6 months, I might have went back out there because it was hard. It was really hard for me at that time. Some of the things I talked about were really hard to deal with. But I got through that. And then I went to my first retreat. And I met more people. And I got to see some of my old friends again. And it was just, I found more family that I didn't have. I was an only child. I got more siblings. I found more mentors that expanded my mind about a lot of things. I learned more about the books that we learn out of. I learned more about the steps and different ways to do them. And, I've never really looked back. I've gotten more involved. I've done more things. I've had a lot of great fucking things happen. I've never taken a step back in my life. After, 9 months, I took the best summer of my vacation of my life. I went back, got clean in March, I got a job in October, and moved out on my own for the first time, just myself. That was so good. But every job I got after that, I got more and more. More pay, better job. And now, I work in recovery, and I get to help addicts every day. And it's the most rewarding thing in my life. It's very stressful, but it's the most rewarding thing in my life. And I get to apply what I learn every day, and I get to, service work that I don't have to preach program all the time, but then I get to go home, and I get to come to these meetings, and I get to spend time with the people in this fellowship, and then I get to do that part. And I don't know. That's the part of this that really has saved me, because I feel like when I did my steps the first time, it wasn't as thorough as it is now because my brain wasn't as clear. I've learned so many things about myself in the past year and a half that I didn't even realize that first 2 years. I'm a completely different person than I was a year ago. And now I'm doing them again, and I realized some of the things on that first 4 step were on the second one that I did. And then I finished that second one, and I had another one to do because I forgot some stuff. But that's the whole point, is I can do it again. And I never have to stop because there's always room to improve. It's always progress. I never have to be done. The process is never ending, but I can still stay clean. I don't have to go back to that. I don't have to be miserable anymore. And I know if I'm stuck somewhere in the middle of the night, I can call any one of the people in this room and they would come and get me. I know back in the day, if I would have called someone in the middle of the night, but come and get me, the only person I would have did that was my mom. Because she had to do that a couple times. And she came and got me in some spots she didn't want to get me. But I know a lot of you guys would. Probably all of you would. And that's how we utilize the tools we're given. They tell us to make the phone your lifeline and to go to a meeting when you don't feel like going to a meeting, and to work with another addict. Two addicts makes a meeting, and sometimes that's my whole day. And sometimes you get to see the results of that, and sometimes you don't. I've lost 3 sponsees. I lost 3 of them in a year, and that was really hard. And it, 2 of them weren't even overdosed, and that was really hard, and I had to take a break. But everybody in the fellowship was there to catch me. But, like, that's the beauty of all of this, is you have that family. They say blood's thicker than water, but that's not the whole quote. It's the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, which actually means the family you choose is more important than the family that you're born with. It's not that your family's not important, but chosen family is a stronger bond because you choose to make that bond. And that's what this fellowship is to me. And that's why I keep coming back. And I get to be free now because you guys get to help make me free. And I get to make that choice every day and do the work every day because you guys inspire me to do that. I get to see people that are happy. And I get to inspire people to do that. The woman who introduced me spoke the other night for her first time at the table that she first met me at. And I got to tell them about the first time I met her again. I was sitting at a table, and I was having a lot of fun, and she was so mad at us for having so much fun, because she was new. She was so sad and upset. She was 90 days clean, and she snapped on me and was like, "How can you be so fucking happy?" me and my one friend just got tattoos. And I got this recovery ribbon, and I was so proud of it. I was so happy. And she was so sad. I think she just lost a friend. And she was so sad. She's like, "I cannot live past the thought of partying in the streets, but it's not really partying. I think every time I go, like, all I can think of is that." And it made such an impression on me that I wrote about it on Instagram. And she came to a retreat, the next fall retreat, about a year later. And she walked up to me and was like, "Why do you hate me?" And I looked at her like, "I don't know who the fuck you are." Because I didn't recognize her. And she was almost a year and a half sober. And she's my best friend now. But I, like, I don't know, like, what I said was a huge... I don't know if what I said to her was huge, but what she did for me was huge. Because I went home, obviously, and I thought about that. And I wrote about it because it made me go back to that first 90 days. And me and her come from completely different walks of life and different processes through our addictions. But what she said made me go back to that spot. And one of my other friends who's he asked me what it was like right before his 1 year clean. "How did you feel?" And I told him, "I don't know. I don't remember." And so my therapist said too. And he's like, "You want to know what you felt like? Because I remember I wrote it down." And I said, "What?" He said, "You were scared shitless." And I'm about to be at 4 years, and for once I'm not scared shitless. I'm not. Because I have my friends. And I have this fellowship, and I have this program. And I get to be, what is it, happy, free, and whatever. Yeah, that one. But I just get to be happy. I get to, like, this whole last year, I finally looked like the person I wanted to look like when I was 15, except I'm fucking happy. Like, people are like, "Oh, you're so confident, you're all these things," and, like, on the inside, I'm still kind of not. I'm not always that way, but, like, I actually am happy for once. My mom asked me a couple months ago, "Are you really happy?" And I said, "Yes, for once I can tell you the truth." Because I used to be my biggest lie in the world is I'm fine. Now I can say I'm actually fine. And when I'm not, I can be honest about it. It's the first principle is the honesty part. So I can tell you when I'm not, and I can tell you when I am. And a lot of the time, I'm actually fucking happy. So, with that, I'll close.